The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please pray with me. God, may we be fully aware of your kingdom as it dwells among us and as it dwells within us this morning. Amen. There's an old proverb that goes something like this: "The fox knows many things, but the hedgehog knows only one thing." And that's it. That's the end. We don't know what the fox knows. Excuse me. We don't know what the hedgehog knows. And philosophers and thoughtful people have wrestled for centuries with understanding exactly what this proverb means. What are the many things that the fox knows? What is the one thing the hedgehog knows? And is it better to be the fox or is it better to be the hedgehog? What does this mean? And I think about this parable whenever I read this story of Jesus at Martha's house. Because he essentially says the same thing to Martha. "Martha, you are distracted by many things, but only one thing is necessary." And then, just like the parable, Luke chops off the story and doesn't tell us how it ends. He doesn't tell us what the one thing is. And he doesn't tell us what happens. Does Martha join Mary and Jesus? Does Martha roll her eyes and continue on with her task? Does Martha get fed up and kick them both out of the house? What does Martha do? Luke leaves us hanging a little bit. But honestly, the best teachings usually don't have a resolution to them. They give you something to chew on for a little bit. They give you something to wrestle with. And I think Luke was a master storyteller in that way. He left his readers with something to struggle with. He often did not resolve his stories so that people would place themselves in it and ask, what is the correct response? And I think this is another example. What does this parable mean? I think there are a lot of things that it could mean. The story right before this is the story of the Good Samaritan, which was the gospel passage last Sunday. And in the Good Samaritan, you've got this person who no Jewish man or woman would have looked to as an example of discipleship. You have the Samaritan who is showing what it means to be merciful, who is showing what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, which is one of the two great commandments. And then here you have Mary, a woman who Luke ascribes the actions of a disciple to. She sat at Jesus' feet to learn. And so there's this expansion of what it means to be a disciple. There's this radical idea of that. It could be that Martha was so aware of who was in her home that she was doing too much. She was making too much of a fuss over Jesus. And Jesus was trying to say, "Martha, Martha, no, no, no. We don't need all of those things." When I was growing up, I didn't hear this story taught very much because this was usually a story reserved for women. Right? It's like the women's Bible study story or the ladies' devotional guide story. Because obviously there's nothing here for men to learn. And there are books written about this. Being a Mary and a Martha World, I think, was a famous book that came out of a passage like this. And so there are a number of things for us to learn from this story. And I'd like to throw something else into the pile. Because whenever I read this story, in this very short passage, the word distracted is used twice. And that's pretty significant. And so Jesus seems to be, and Luke seems to be, pointing to the fact that Martha was distracted. even in doing something that appeared to be very good. Being a hostess is important. Welcoming people into your home matters. And Jesus seems to be saying this is a distraction. And so if being distracted is not what Jesus was encouraging her to do, then maybe the important thing here is to be present. If you've been listening to the liturgy this morning, you've heard the word presence many times already. What does it mean to be present? What does it mean to be with someone? I'm not super great at being present. It's something that I have to consciously force myself to do. One of the common things that my wife says to me whenever we're all sitting around in the living room and I'm on my phone, she'll very kindly and gently say, "Maybe you should just be with us." And that's her way of saying, "Put the phone down and talk to me, please." We get distracted. And we get distracted by good things. I do the laundry in our home with 8 kids. Basically, we should be home doing laundry right now. Like, there's no reason for us to be here. We should be home doing laundry at all times. I typically do the laundry in our home. And it's a productive thing, but sometimes it's an escape for me. Because I can go down into our laundry room, I can turn on a podcast, and I can sit in there for what feels like hours. And who's going to get mad at you for doing laundry? This is a good thing. But it can be a way of checking out. It's doing a good task, but for the wrong reason. Because maybe what's more important than doing a good task, maybe what's more important than even being hospitable, is being present. Hospitality is again a big thing. I was on staff at a fairly large church down in the Houston area many years ago, and one day this group of people came in and they met with our staff and they walked us through this spiritual gifts inventory. I didn't grow up Lutheran. Is this something Lutherans do? Do you do spiritual gift, like you fill out forms and you find out like what's my gift? I'm getting some head nods. Okay, so we're on the same page. So we spent a couple of hours going through this questionnaire to find out what your spiritual gift is. We broke for lunch, and when we came back from lunch, they went around our conference table and revealed to us, "Here's your gift, here's your gift." And as I'm sitting there listening to everyone receive their spiritual gift, I'm thinking, I hope mine is good. I hope it's something really neat. I would love to be able to heal people, you know. I want that spiritual gift. I want prophecy, but not the kind where you just speak into people's lives, but where you can tell the future. I would love to have that spiritual gift. And so I'm listening as they go around the table and they come to me and they say, "Corey, yours was interesting. Your spiritual gift is hospitality." And I went, "Oh, hospitality. Neat." But they said, "The reason it's interesting is because most men don't score that high in hospitality." And I went, "Great." So not only is it lame, it's not even manly. All right. But as I began processing and understanding what hospitality is, it began to dawn on me that this is a thing that's really good. The traditional sense of hospitality is that you set out the tea set or you put out the good towels when guests come by. Churches typically have a hospitality sort of ministry where there are people who greet you in the lobby. There are people who, whether it's an assigned role or not, I'm sure someone in this room is probably the person designated to clean up after everybody after meal times, to make sure the trash is thrown out. Usually there are people who do these things. And those things matter. Try having a meal together where nobody cooks any food. Try having a nice building, a nice space to meet where nobody cleans up after everyone. Those things matter. But hospitality is not about tasks. Hospitality is not just about making someone feel welcome. Hospitality is about presence. It's about being with someone. Because there's a very important difference between feeling welcome and feeling wanted. Have you ever been invited to a place, to a party, a gathering, a family event, and you knew you were welcome, But the moment you walked in, it became very obvious that you were not wanted. This is a terrible feeling, isn't it? Because it makes no difference if you're welcome, if the people there don't want you. And we can often become so distracted with making people feel welcome that we forget to make them feel wanted. And whenever I read this story of Jesus in the home of Martha, I see that Martha is going about the business of making Jesus feel welcome, but she has forgotten to make him feel wanted. And here is Mary sitting at his feet, listening, present with the Lord. And Jesus finally has to tell Martha, there's something more important. There's something more important than all the tasks that you're doing. Because the most hospitable task that you can perform don't matter if you're in the other room. If you never even look your guest in the eye. In church life, we can have the most beautiful worship spaces. We can have the most thriving hospitality guest greeter team ever. All stars across the board. But if we lack the ability to be present with one another, if we lack the ability to communicate to people, you are wanted here, then we miss an opportunity to be the Lord to them. I work in marketing today. I spent about 15 years in full-time ministry. And I preached for a small church here in Little Rock for about 5 years. And in July of 2017, the church closed. And that was one of the weirdest experiences I've ever been through. But we love Little Rock. This is home for us. And so we decided, rather than seeking other ministry jobs, we would settle in here and I would find a real job, so to speak. And a very good friend of mine generously offered for me to come work for him at his financial advising firm. And so I do marketing for him. Marketing today is a really fascinating world because it's all about one thing, and that is SEO, search engine optimization. I don't know if you're aware of SEO or not, but it is everything. If you move to an area and you want to find, I don't know, a realtor, and you search, you get online, you get on Google, and you search for a realtor, the search page will come up with a list. Most people, statistically speaking, most people will not look past the fifth listing on the first page. Most people won't go that low. I mean, seriously, have you ever gone past like the first couple of pages on Google looking for something? Probably not. And so everything is about getting your website on that first page and in those top five. I tell you all of this to say that one of the most priceless commodities in our world today is your attention. Few things are more valuable than your attention. And we know this because people spend billions of dollars a year to try and get it. And because of that, we are seriously distracted. Everyone is fighting to get you to look at them. You're all looking at me right now. I'm like king of the world because I have people's attention. Because this is what it's all about. And when that many people and that many things are fighting to get your attention, we become quickly distracted. There's a Jewish practice that I think is absolutely beautiful that fights through distraction, fights through all the things that have to be done. When someone passes away, it's called sitting Shiva. You go to the home of the family of the person who passed away and you just sit. Think of all the things that have to be done when someone passes away. Think of the arrangements that need to be made. Think of the phone calls that need to be made. Think of the meals that need to be prepared. But before any of that happens, everyone just goes and sits. And together they are in the presence of the person who is suffering, who is mourning, and they feel it with them. And they suffer and they mourn right alongside them. Because the task can wait. The task will take on all new meaning when presence has been felt first. There's a spiritual teacher named Sharon Salzberg who says the simple act of being completely present to another person is truly an act of love. No drama is required. Isn't that good? No drama is required. I believe the church has become terribly distracted in our day. I think we've become terribly distracted with things that we believe are important, with things that we believe matter. And all the while, there are people all around us asking, "Do you even see me? Are you capable of even being present with me?" We've become so distracted with being right, so distracted with being doctrinally and theologically correct, that we have lost the ability to simply sit and be with another person. This is something I preach at our kids all the time, and I mean preach. I lay into stuff. But one of our go-to phrases is always, are you being right or are you being kind? Because you can be right all day long, and your brothers will stop loving you. You can be right all day long, and you will be very lonely. And I think that's a question to ask the church. Are we more concerned with being right, or are we more concerned with being kind, generous, loving, present? Thomas Merton said, "In the end, no theory that neglects real people can be of any value." Here in just a moment, we're going to come to the table, and we're going to remember Christ in the Eucharist. I have this tattoo on my arm of a table. And it has a lot of layers, it has a lot of meaning, but it's basically everything we've talked about this morning. If you think of the cross as the death and resurrection of Jesus, the table is, to me, where he spent his life. It's where he spent his time on earth. And if you read through the stories of Jesus in the Gospels when he was around a table, there is no one he refused to eat with. At no point did he ever turn someone away and say, "I'm sorry, I'm not willing to be with you." And it didn't matter. The top of society, the religious leaders, he received invitations and attended their parties. He welcomed them when they came to visit with him. The lowest of society, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the religious people wanted to know, "Why do you eat with them?" And he said, "This is why I'm here. It's the whole reason I came." Because that's who Jesus was. And he invites us weekly to remember this. That of all the things that occupy our attention, of all the things that occupy our time, perhaps one of the most critical things that we forget, one of the things we get so distracted and lose sight of, is that there is a person right in front of us who needs our presence. Be present. Be present with the Lord. Be present with one another. Be present in the places that you go. And as we learn to be present, we learn to help people feel not just welcome, but they know they're wanted. We're going to sing another hymn now. So let's stand together as we enter into this song.